Got it. That's what it says on my Zoom call here. Let me get in the right microphone and the right Zoom call. Now, normally I don't do these Zoom calls because I look a little bit protruding chest hair and sickly this morning, because that's apparently how I look these days. Joe Sinnott, the big winner last night in our Crude Life March Madness tournament. Boy, you had two entries. You had winning partners, which is your day-to-day business, which pays the bills. And then we got our kind of our play around podcast fund, which it has its own little tool and marketing tool. But let's be honest, podcasts are fun. We want to make them lighthearted. We want to connect with people. Therefore, that's what we're doing right now. We're doing a podcast about last night's game, which we incorporate here at the Crude Life. We bring in companies and, you know, we match them up. Corwell Energy, the number one seed overall. They got Gonzaga. You, on the other hand, were a number one seed in the Marcellus region, which is the East. So were you 3-2? Which one were you overall? Who were you in March Madness?
Somehow the selection committee gave me a number one seed. So I am Baylor there in the East, Baylor, in the Marcellus region.
So you got a good draw there with Baylor. Of course, unfortunate injury. The player, whoever it was that was injured in the headline that I read going into the tournament, I did a quick skimming before I went into March Madness this year. And that's what I took away from Baylor, was one of their top players was injured in the last couple of weeks. And therefore, they kind of stumbled into March Madness. But then last night, out of the gate, winning partner says, we've got leadership here, baby. And that's what you did last night. And then also you pulled off the big upset. Number 15, Energy Detox Podcast, which we're on right now. You pulled off a big upset against the Dwayne Ferris and canine pipe, you know, the leak detection. He just spoke in Tulsa for ESG. He was part of the ESG seminar. And you knocked him off, baby. You showed how St. Peter, I mean, the Energy Detox could do it. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm proud to be a native of Northern New Jersey, about 20 minutes from St. Peter's University there. So, the selection committee likes to try to align things, you know, geographically if needed for regional stuff. Typically, they don't worry about that stuff for 15 seeds. But apparently, in the case of the Crude Life and your bracket there, Jason, the selection committee made that connection. And clearly, much, much happier to be an underdog winner than just some, you know, yet another number one plowing ahead in the first round. So, yeah, very, very exciting day yesterday.
We're not trying to play favorites here at the Crude Life, because being a 15 seed is like almost a guaranteed loss. There's only been 10 15 seeds in the history of March Madness that have won. And Joe and I were texting each other last night. Excuse me. Mr. Sinnott and I were texting last night, and we were kind of got into some biblical references because St. Peter. And I made the joke that Jesus said St. Peter is his rock. And of course, we're talking about Matthew 16:16 through Matthew 18. I'm sorry, Matthew 16:18, which talks about Jesus says that Peter is his rock. And it talked about the foundation and the church, but did it really? Is he his rock himself, as in follow the teachings of Peter and you will have the ways of Jesus? You kind of got my joke, because you actually have a little bit of a Catholic background as well. So we said, you texted me, hey, the Catholics are doing great in the tournament. So let's update us here on the Catholic Watch.
Catholic Watch. Oh, boy. All right. Well, I think there's 11 teams that were alive, you know, starting off yesterday. So, yeah, you know, what's that? 1/6 of the tournament made up of Catholic schools, which I don't think is terribly uncommon. But, 11 of those. I think those schools went 6-2 yesterday, again, including Notre Dame's first four, or play-in, if you want to use the pejorative term for those first couple games in Dayton. So, yeah, 6-2 so far, four more on deck. And again, you know, they happen to be Catholic schools, but as we kind of segue into the leadership piece of things, it kind of speaks to, hey, look, you know, you got some schools with, you know, founded upon having a higher purpose. And obviously every school going into the tournament has their ultimate purpose of winning it all, if at all possible. And, certainly setting us up for an entertaining conversation today, maybe not as entertaining as all those overtime games yesterday, but But yeah, you know, there's a lot to that, right? You know, you're not just playing for yourself and your teammates, but you know, you're doing something for, again, the universities from a secular standpoint, or even something greater there. So friendly texting back and forth last night, and you know, lo and behold, next thing you know, we're plowing into theology and biblical references and all kinds of things that, you know, you may just find on the Crude Life. You just never know what you're going to get when you're having a conversation with Jason Spies.
Well, religion used to be taboo to talk about, but now you lead with your religion, your sexuality, your HEPA laws. You know, hey, I have COVID. I don't have COVID. I identify as a werewolf. I identify as a trans. I identify as a he, a she. To me, growing up, that stuff was taboo, and then in the media, never did you talk about that. Well, I'm a former altar boy. I taught Sunday school. I've read the Bible twice, and I did go to a Catholic school. So I don't mind talking about this stuff, because when I hit the age of reason, I kind of left the church and became a little bit more spiritual. So although I still have a lot of those, you know, those religious beliefs and those core values, not so much of the organization and the infrastructure that go behind that. And so that's what made last night so fun for me, because there are those individuals that can, you know, think beyond the temple or beyond the synagogue or think beyond the church and still understand that good humor is a great way to keep those values still percolating. And a lot of those values, those are brought into the leadership roles. I can't tell you how many Christian breakfasts I see on the calendars. I can't tell you how many, you know, Jewish Sunday business leadership things I've seen on the calendars. There's a lot of influence with religion and leadership. And Joe, just before we get into some of these March Madness games, how do you balance that? I mean, you're wearing your Notre Dame shirt, so you obviously, you know, I know your background, so as comfortable as you feel, talk about that. But also, you know, how do you balance that in the world of business? Because, dude, that's a trigger item beyond belief. You know, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, anything, if you see it as a trigger and if you're afraid of it, then yeah.
Are we live on LinkedIn?
Are we live? No, we are not. We are okay. Not live. So everything's fair game. But even if we were live, I consider everything fair game, right? Because when it comes to leadership, again, you can't be afraid. And, you know, that's part of the problem with, you know, a oversimplified interpretation of some of these, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. They're all good. They're all well-intentioned. But sometimes you can go too far and be afraid to acknowledge that we are different and we have different religions and backgrounds and races and genders. And again, from a leadership standpoint, it's not a question of balancing, again, talking about religion, not talking about religion, you know, talking about gender, not talking about gender. It's being aware of all these different things and then connecting it to, again, your ultimate purpose. So to answer your question, when it comes to, you know, say religion in particular, I see it as an advantage if you're familiar with, you know, the traditions of the Catholics. And again, you know, again, we're in the midst of Lent, right? So just being familiar with traditions and fasting and no meat Fridays and things like that, and traditions for yesterday, for St. Patrick's Day. And again, you're talking about other, you know, faith traditions, you know, whether it's, you know, you're Jewish, you know, Protestant. My wife and I were out for a walk last night. We walked past a place that had a Hindu thing going on. And we stopped and we paused and we kind of read on the window, you know, music's flowing, there's smell of food inside. And again, just being aware and asking, all right, well, oh, you know, well, what is that? You know, what do they believe? And having all of that in mind so that when you need to draw upon that knowledge to, if nothing else, you just mentioned humor, right? Being able to laugh, you know, from a leadership standpoint, the more you're aware of these things, the more you can laugh, the more you can connect things together, the more you can understand a joke or tell a joke or, you know, engage people, disarm people. So, you know, maybe a long answer, Jason, but just being aware of different traditions and not being afraid to introduce religion or gender or any of these type of things, that's in many cases what makes a leader, what boosts executive presence, if you will. It's awareness, it's understanding. And you know what, if nothing else, yeah, maybe you're not a leader, maybe you don't want to be a leader, but you know, if you wind up on Jeopardy, at least, you know, it might give you an advantage if there's a couple categories that talk about religion. So the moral of the story is you can't be afraid to talk about these things, to ingest these things, to, again, you know, people want to say black and white, offend or not offend. It's not a question of being offensive. It's being curious and not being afraid to talk. If we were on LinkedIn Live or any live program right now, my answer wouldn't be any different, right? We can't be afraid to talk about these things. So there you go. There's your long answer. Is it's not a question of balance. It's a question of using this information to keep moving forward and connecting with other people.
You know, and the thing is, when you were talking about that, I was thinking about David versus Goliath. That is a huge theme right now in March Madness. We talked about number 15 seed St. Peter knocking off Kentucky, the University of Kentucky, the corrupt University of Kentucky, the corrupt John Calipari, you know, and that's not my words. That's the Associated Press's words over the history of years and years and years. So, you know, I mean, really, you have that storyline that's just playing out there. And then we talk about spring and the rejuvenation of types of things. You know, you can go from the Zodiac calendar. We're 3 days away from spring. We're 3 days away from spring, right? All right. So let's tie in some science with our religion. Mm-hmm. From my memory, Easter comes. Is it a week after the first full moon into spring? So our full moon was last night. We must have a late Easter. Is our Easter? And I don't know when Easter is. So
it is the 17th of April this year. So
that would make sense then. So there you go. I was going to say if we would have the full moon on Monday, okay, then our Easter would be the next week. So there's a zodiacal tie and a biblical tie that comes into the science of the moon. Okay. Now, before we get too whacked out here on a Friday morning, I just wanted to show how we live in a world now where we do have to layer this stuff in, because we live in a world where the average worker has above an eighth grade education. So therefore they're critically thinking all the time, and they're led into a world where they're trying to say, no, we're not going to critically think anymore. And the media has a responsibility. This is why podcasts are taking off, is because podcasts are critically thinking. Okay. The media is getting lazy again. They're getting lazier and lazier. In fact, my ESG column right now that I'm writing is about idol worshiping, but it's blaming the media. It's blaming the media for creating the Kim Kardashian. And I'm talking about, okay, we'll talk basketball here. And I go through the different things, you know, like, could you imagine being the top climatologist in the world who's speaking at the big G UN summit that all the top minds come to and all the most influential people? And in comes a teenage girl from Europe, and she's the new spokesperson on climatology. Okay. Well, there went my 40 years of education that just right out the window. I mean, can you imagine being that guy? That guy that waited that whole life for that opportunity and to only be usurped by a teenage girl to be the new face of climate change? That's flat out idol worshiping. That is flat out idol worshiping. So I go a step further just to illustrate that the media is really behind this. And that's why the podcasters are taking off. I go a step further and say, now imagine being the reporter that's told by his boss, basically he's going to get fired if he doesn't do it, or at least blacklisted, to go do a story on Kyrie Irving for anything after he became a flat earther. Okay. Kyrie Irving was like a flat earther, staunch. He had to back away because there was so much backlash. But seriously, could you imagine being that reporter where your boss said, hey, we got a story on, you know, something serious to do with the NBA lockout. Go interview Kyrie Irving. Well, why? He's a flat earther. Yeah, but he's a rich basketball player and he's in the news all the time. That's just idol worshiping. And I'll give you one more example we cite in the ESG article coming out about idol worshiping. We get into Elon Musk and Tesla is where it goes. So we get in and we constantly say the real life Tesla and then Elon Musk is what we say on the other one. But could you imagine being the reporter? And we're going to show the screenshot that has to go ask Christie Brinkley what her views are on the Russian-Ukrainian war. Okay, then. So this is a major news outlet that is getting Christie Brinkley's opinion of what she surfs on her phone, because I'm pretty sure she's not invited to one meeting. I'm pretty sure of it. And by the way, I blame the media for all of that. All of it. 100%. I don't blame Christie Brinkley. Nope, not at all. In fact, I'm jealous. You know, I'm jealous because I sat in a meeting that eventually probably led to something that is impacting this stuff. Well, we got a lot of money in North Dakota tied to Russia. The governor gives out daily updates like it's a COVID watch. He's like, we're down to 62% Russian tied money. I mean, it's comical, dude. So I spoke for a long time. You might have something to say. You might not, because a lot of times I hand you loaded hand grenades. So there you go, sir.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of different directions we could go there. That's a certainty with you, Jason. So I guess if you want to bring it back to leadership, you know, part of a leader is deciding which direction to go in, right? And, you know, to realize that sometimes there are people leading you down a path that doesn't actually add value. Case in point, the media, right? How often are they sending us down paths that don't actually add value to us, but they see as adding value to them? That's going to keep our attention because we might actually think what Christie Brinkley has to say instead of some, you know, 85-year-old expert that doesn't look like Christie Brinkley, who actually has legitimate opinions about, you know, geopolitics and things. But again, that's it. So, you know, from a leadership standpoint, again, it's
old balls. He's old balls. He's got old. Anyway, so go
on. again, we are not live. So there you go. But in all seriousness, I mean, that's it. So, you know, bringing it back to, you know, if you are a leader, part of your job is to sort through and identify when people like the media, in many cases, are not actually helping you move forward, right? They're distracting you. And if you want to bring it back to March Madness, right? I mean, how many teams or individual players are distracted by all the goings on that occur when, you know, they make it to March Madness? It's a great achievement, right? You know, you make it to the NCAA tournament. There's a lot going on. But next thing you know, you wind up like Kentucky, where, again, you know, they came out, they were flat, right? They were timid. And then this was John Calipari's words himself, right? He said, you know, they weren't loose. Whereas St. Peter's, you know, some of the people saying, wow, it's like, you know, they were acting like they've been there before. You know, they were all business at the end of the game. And I think, you know, credit to Coach Shaheen Holloway, who, again, a New Jersey native, you know, he was playing high school basketball, same time, you know, competing against a school that I did not play for, but was a part of there. So, you know, I'm got to give some credit again to another New Jerseyite, New Jerseyan, whatever we used to be. Because, again, I am now here in Western Pennsylvania, a proud Pittsburgher with, you know, four Pittsburgh children, which means I got deep roots here, but I digress. But giving him credit, you know, he said, hey, look, we're going to get in line. We're going to shake hands. Like, we've been here before. We are all business. And from a leadership standpoint, that's what you want, right? You want that presence. You want that executive presence. You know, none of those men on that team playing basketball are executives, to the best of my knowledge. Although, again, with this new, you know, name, image, likeness thing, they might have their own little side business after the tournament with the fame that they're gaining. But, you know, long story short, they weren't distracted, right? They came in, they were all business. They had a leader that was all business. And obviously he's not making anywhere near the, whatever, $8 million that John Calipari is making, but clearly they exercised the tools that they had. You know, they were clearly the David and Goliath thing, but they had enough tools, they had enough slingshots, right? And they made it happen. And why? In large part, because they didn't come out timid. They did play loose. They did act like they were there before. So again, coming back to the, you know, the media distractions and the narratives and everything else, there are lots of distractions. There are lots of people pulling you away from what you need to be focused on. And if you can get the people around you back on the right path, not off in left field, not listening to Christie Brinkley when they should be listening to the geopolitical expert, if they are in charge of something related to geopolitics, that's what leadership is, Jason. And whether it's a coach of a team, the leader of a company, or you know, a less informal coach, sort of as I am in this world, it's the same thing. It's bringing people back to the path that they should be on, using the tools at their disposal, instead of, again, being blinded by the lights, if you will.
You know, one of the problems I find with today's world is, you know, blue lamp. So people, you know, a blue car drives by and they get distracted. And then, well, I think it was in, I Love Lamp. That's what it was from Anchorman, Steve Carell. So it's just, it's kind of the flighty bumblebee thing, right? Because as soon as you said Pittsburgh, my mind immediately went to, is there a place in Pittsburgh that's Pittsburgh, like Pittsburgher? Because you said you're a Pittsburgher. Mm-hmm. And I thought, boy, P-I-T apostrophe S burger. There's got to be a place, Pittsburgher in Pittsburgh. Anyways, so getting back to March Madness. See, this is the ADD world that we live
no,
in.
No, but see, you know what? You know, whether you realize it or not, Jason, you're not as disconnected as you are because March Madness is occurring today.
I know.
In Pittsburgh. That's it. So we're there. You're not. We're all connected. That's the beauty of it. So go ahead. We're all connected.
Some bar just called Pittsburgher, you know, just packed right now and everything. And so let's go through these because I know we got a clock here. We got a shot clock, baby. Okay, Gonzaga, is that a Catholic? I know it's a private school. Is that a Catholic school?
It is a Catholic school. Yes, it is alma mater of John Stockton, another famous Catholic, Irish Catholic basketball player.
Texas Southern, that's not a Catholic. No.
Not believe so.
Kansas, heck no. Norfolk State, no. Baylor?
No. I think they have religious ties. I'm not Catholic.
I agree. Longwood, I'm not familiar with. Okay. Tennessee, no. St. Peter's, yes. Kentucky, no. Akron, no. That's the Zips. UCLA, no. Heavens, no. Not UCLA. USC, though. You ever been to USC?
USC. No, sorry. I hear USC and I usually have to take a moment to just let whatever anger flows out of my body, given the rivalry with Notre Dame. But no, again, I would put them in the antithesis of of Catholicism category.
Honestly, the first time I went to USC, I could not believe I was in a university because it's like Compton across the street. You know what I mean? It's like Boys in the Hood right across the street. And I'm not kidding at all. It's like, anyway, so South Dakota State, no. Providence, is that?
Yeah, all the Friars, yeah.
And the word Friars is in there as well. Okay. Richmond, they're the Spiders, no. Iowa Hawkeyes, no. Vermont Catamount, no. Arkansas Razorbacks, no. No, Arkansas's 40 Minutes of Hell, is that Catholic?
Again, all roads lead to Rome, so it might not be directly Catholic, but it might help get you there. So
I like that one. Okay. Indiana, no. I'm going to say St. Mary's, yes. Okay. San Francisco, I would say no.
It is, actually. So San Francisco, who lost late last night, yes, that is a Jesuit university out there in California.
Bill Cartwright. Okay. Right? Bill Cartwright, San Francisco, isn't he?
I do not know.
Okay, I believe he is. Murray State?
Don't think so.
Okay. And New Mexico State? No. UConn? No. Memphis? I doubt it. Boise State? No. Michigan? No. Colorado State? No. Marquette? Yes, right?
Yeah, another, I think they're Jesuits as well, and they were one of the two losses yesterday. So.
And then North Carolina? No. And Creighton? No. I know Creighton. That's a...
No, Creighton is. And they might be yet another Jesuit school. So yeah, they pulled out one of those overtime victories yesterday. So Creighton is in the Catholic category there.
San Diego State is not, but I believe University of San Diego is. There is a Catholic University of San Diego, I know. But so we're up to seven, right? Is that what we have?
I'm not sure if San Diego. I mean, we'll give them partial credit for being named, you know, after San Diego, obviously.
I know they have a private University of San Diego there that's outside of the state system. That's about $80,000 a year. That I know because my friend became a marine biologist there, and she made very clear that she was at the private San Diego, not the public San Diego
State. Got it.
Okay, so I don't know the technicalities of the state system, but so I do know that Creighton, though, the Catholic school that I went to is part of the Fargo Catholic Diocese. Mm-hmm. So we have Shanley. Okay. And that's a feeder program for Creighton, baby. That's one of the feeder programs. And Marquette, Drake, I believe, too. Is Drake Catholic? No, they're not.
I don't think so.
Okay, that's where some of the Creighton rejects would go. Oops.
Man, you've offended, I don't know, I mean, there was about at least half a dozen schools where you were emphatic that they had no religious affiliation. So I think, you know, you're, you know, for a country that's probably what, still at least nominally, you know, 20% Catholic, you've probably offended the whole swath of NCAA fans. So,
but you that's know what's awesome, though.
Let's equal opportunity offender, though. That's, you know, you're consistent.
I actually write that in there in the ESG that I am an equal opportunity.
Well, there you go. There
we're
you
an
go.
Equal opportunity employer, an equal opportunity enabler, and we're an equal opportunity offender. And the irony is that Dwayne Wade probably does have more religious schooling than me. Dwayne Wade, right? Because he went to Marquette. Oh, man. Greatest. I saw it live. I watched it live. So Mike Schomer, who works in the media, he works in Minneapolis media. Him and I were there. March Madness ended up, by the way, spending the weekend with the University of Miami's marching band team. Oh, those girls, saxophone and brass players, all kinds of. Anyway, different story for a different podcast, late night podcast. But for this one, Dwayne Wade, I've never seen somebody Michael Jordan-esque like Dwayne Wade did against Kentucky. Dwayne Wade literally took that game over by himself in the same way Kirby Puckett took over for the Twins during the World Series and all kinds of, you know, when one person, you don't know how they do it, but they take over a team. And Dwayne Wade did that against Kentucky. We watched it live down in Minneapolis. I don't know if you have any March Madness stories or any connections like that, but man, Dwayne Wade, I watched a religious experience on the March Madness floor.
Man, talk about a segue to your idol worship column that you're writing there. This is, yeah, I think you're heading right there. Is that a Dwayne Wade that I see in the background with some candles burning around it?
Yes, I do. I he's probably one of my favorite players because of that moment, though. Because I watched, they call it the miracle and all these other things. And I did not go in as a Dwayne Wade fan, but I left still to this day, like Vince Carter. Vince Carter, he can play with both hands, right? Mm-hmm. So when he was in high school during the AAU, and this was during some high school game, he like fractured or broke or did something to his right hand. Well, in the second half, he could only use his left hand. He scored like 21 points, including three-pointers and dunks. That's like a religious moment. That's a spiritual moment. If you've never seen something like that, that inspires you to new heights. And these are just regular people doing amazing things. And I believe leadership can do that. That's why the one moment I do want to talk about, and we'll conclude with this, is kind of my idol worshiping of cheerleaders. And last night, the cheerleaders stole the show, okay? Now, we're not talking Catholic schoolgirls. Now, I do appreciate a nice Catholic schoolgirl outfit. Don't get me wrong. We're still offending, right? Okay.
Still offending, still in the probably to-be-edited category. But, yeah, continue on there, Jason.
But last night, Indiana's cheerleader is the story of the whole tournament. And here's why. They thought outside the box. And they brought in an expert that knows what they're doing to do the job that may not seem like the best way to go about doing it. But what I heard people cheer for was the embracing of true talent in its truest form. What do you think of that?
I think you're spot on, right? You know, that's it. There was a problem to be solved. They used the resources. They got the ball down. Finally gave somebody something to cheer about for Indiana. I think that was pretty much it for them yesterday. But, well, that's it. Yeah. And what, you know, obviously the announcer there and I think everybody beyond there, you know, that was her one shining moment. But again, it shined a light on just her as an individual. But, yeah, look, cheerleaders are there. They could do more than just pump up the crowd and cheer on their team. You know, there's a lot more to it. And, you know, sometimes when, you know, something needs to get done, you might have to look to an unlikely source, or again, if we want to turn things over to the oil and gas industry, you might have to turn to a source that you may have demonized for all, not all eternity, but you know, maybe for the last couple of decades, turn to a source that can actually help you achieve your goals. Even if you don't want to, even if you want to admit it, you know, the oil and gas industry, much like that cheerleader, when you need her, when you need that team, when you need somebody like us to come in and solve the world's problems, as we're seeing right now, we're going to be there. Now, we might not get cheered on necessarily, although, again, the oil and gas industry has amazingly found some short-term cheerleaders on occasion in the federal government. Again, it depends on the hour, perhaps, but, you know, they're there at least, you know, recognizing the game, if you will, while still hating the player, to bring in that overplayed analogy. But you're spot on there, Jason. You know, problem to be solved. Look around. What are the resources that can get it done? Last night, there's a cheerleading team. And, you know, for the last 160 years and probably for the next 160 years, solving some pretty big problems and helping people move forward so the game can continue, if you will, and continue on. Oil and gas industry.
When they actually brought out the chair and stacked something on top of the chair, it was like every cartoon you've seen of somebody trying to stack chairs on top of tables, on top of books to try to get out of something, like how it's just wonky and wobbly and that Wascally Wabbit is going to get to the top and all this different stuff. And I mean, you couldn't have scripted that any better. And I stood up last night and did this when she got the ball. And I looked at they panned to the crowd. And that's what people are doing in the crowd too, because that was such an organic, fun moment. And then now that I'm talking about it, I'm going, was that scripted? Okay, now I got that cynical side in me, you know, that side in me going, oh man, that was like too perfect. And then the real cynical side, well, she was the only one wearing masks.
Right? We can go on with that for hours. Actually, here, as you're describing that with, yeah, coming out and the ref futilely trying to poke at the ball in the chair, I am sure there are plenty of parties out there that would be happy to turn that into a meme where, again, you've got people stacking windmills on top of solar panels and having this wobbly thing to try to solve a problem. And here we are, we're turning to the cheerleaders on the sideline and representing oil and gas. And it's like, all right, if you need us to come and, you know, save the day, so be it. So I'm going to throw that out there to the universe. You know, maybe we could take that little clip and, you know, we can. Sounds like a good contest, right? You know, who wants to go out there and build that meme? But if it hasn't already been done, right? I mean, in this world, what we're at least, probably 16 hours from when that happened. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens already. But if it hasn't, I'll happily give credit to whoever takes the time and energy on this Friday to do that. But again, another image of, it's like, all right, give credit for the first couple folks for trying, but let's bring in the professionals here to actually get the job done.
So, you know, after your double victory last night, where you came in as a number one seed, because I'm going to wrap this up all in a nice pretty bow, and even you're going to clap. So you came in last night as a number one seed with Whitting Partners. That's your professional business. You've been changing businesses. You've been turning them around, getting them to think differently through an energy detox, which is ironically getting them to have more energy. Okay. So, you know, clever play on words, this and that. Yeah. The selection committee felt that the energy detox was worthy of being in the tournament this year, but not as a one seed, not as a two seed. So you got the 15 seed against the big dog, literal big dog, Dwayne Ferris and the Black Creek Canine Pipe Leak Detection Team. And you knocked them off. Okay, so you're having a great time, right? And so here I am, the bumbling, stumbling idiot in the media, having to take my foot out of my mouth because I've stacked a chair on top of a table, on top of, I've tried to spin and market and public relations my way out of everything that I've done, right? Because I'm in the business of speculating. And then when I get it wrong, I have to justify my speculation, right? Mm-hmm. And remember, if you have to justify, even you know you're wrong, because your actions should speak for yourself and other people will then speak for you. So here I am trying to justify and trying to put a chair and a table. I'm standing 90 feet above the reality zone below. And you know what the reality is? There's Joe Sinnott, number one seed, knocking off the big dog with Christie Brinkley driving away in her automobile powered by fossil fuels, because we're busy trying to build an electric car, stacking chairs and tables and crap all together. And you're the smart guy letting people know that, you know what, if we just stick to what is true and tried and ethical, Christy Brinkley, right by my side, because even the media gets it. See you guys later, right?
I think you did a fantastic job. The only comment I'll make, and again, there's about 43 different comments I probably could make, is that the vision of Christy Brinkley driving a car, wasn't she driving the car next to Clark Griswold on in National Lampoon's? If I have that vision. So I don't know if that was intentional or not, but that's where I went. So if nothing else, we can end with that. Unless, of course, if you can forgive me here, because again, I learned this morning that the sister Jean of Loyola Chicago fame is in Pittsburgh today. The 102-year-old sister Jean of, again, NCAA March Madness fame from a couple years ago. She is here in Pittsburgh. So while, again, people might want to focus more on Christy Brinkley, let's focus on somebody like Sister Jean, the 102-year-old chaplain of that team who's going to be taking on Ohio State today here in Pittsburgh. And again, you talk about somebody with a higher purpose, a higher calling, able to rally people together, able to push through, you know, as much as Christy Brinkley driving along might make more sense, I'll take Sister Jean in her wheelchair, pushing along, dragging along the Loyola Ramblers, I believe might be their mascot, but whoever the heck they are, I hope they win today. I hope they pull the victory over Ohio State. And as always, Jason, I appreciate your time today, weaving things together, giving me a chance to ramble on in Rambler fashion here and enjoy a recap of day one of March Madness.
You know, and I think I figured out your business model. You're so damn good. You always leave the person wanting more, because now you got me pontificating that, you know, is Christy Brinkley a climber? Did she ditch Joe Sinnott? Because she ended up with Jerry, the government bureaucrat in Parks and Rec. And that guy was a bumbling idiot, right? But he's the genius. He ended up being the mayor. He was the guy who got the hot wife. I don't know if you know Jerry Gergich. He was the guy that got picked on all the time. Ended up Christy Brinkley was his wife.
Well, I think we've reached the point where, yes, we are no longer connected. So your references have finally been lost on me, Jason, and you're pontificating there again to bring it back to the Catholic conversation from earlier. So
what do we got? All right. So in summary, any predictions here at this point? We should probably end this train wreck right now. Before
prediction, I mean, again, I think I'll make one prediction, and that is that Notre Dame, despite their double overtime tiring victory that ended at 12:02 a.m. on St. Patrick's Day yesterday, despite the tired legs and the flight all the way over to California from Dayton late Thursday, what would that have been? Thursday morning, yesterday morning, despite all of that, I think they are going to pull out a comfortable victory over Alabama and try to undo a little bit all of the domination, of course, that Alabama has had on the football field over Notre Dame in their last two competitions. So I am predicting a rare, comfortable victory for a Notre Dame fan, which, again, we're not terribly used to. So that is my sole prediction for this afternoon, Jason, and we'll see how that plays out.
Would you like my prediction?
I would love your prediction, Jason.
Are you sure?
I am positive. Well, I am sure. I have no doubt. I'm ready for it. I don't know if everybody else is, but I'm ready for it.
All right. To stick with the theme that we have, because I believe in themes, okay? I can't tell you how many prom committees I sat on and stood on and even laid on. Different podcast, different day. So the theme for Notre Dame is this: the game between Notre Dame. Who's Notre Dame playing today?
Alabama.
Okay. And the winner will be Rutgers. Here's why. We're talking about some biblical times here. And when Easter came, Jesus, of course, 3 days, right? Well, when did Notre Dame win? Was it 3 days ago, right? So, well, for this, it's going to be. So 3 days ago is when the first four began.
In fairness, Jason, it can get confusing, you know, from a Catholic standpoint, because, you know, it's 3 days, but really, I mean, it's, you're talking, yeah, I mean, sundown basically Thursday, and then, you know, you can go to Easter Vigil Mass on Saturday, and, you know, you're saying, well, that's not 3 days exactly. I mean, you're talking like, you know what, 36 hours, so, or whatever it would be. So anyway, in fairness, it can get confusing. So I'll forgive you. So anyway, with those liberties in mind, go ahead and finish your thoughts.
Until they bring back the Gospel of Mary and the Book of Enoch, I'm going to stretch things too a little bit. Okay. So, all right. So the first four in was 3 days ago. Okay. We'll go with that. I'm saying Rutgers. Here's why. I think Notre Dame's going to get COVID. And from the dead, Rutgers is going to rise. This would work better if Notre Dame would have lost. So this would work much better if Notre Dame would have lost. From the ashes, from the tomb, sorry, the rock gets rolled. And out comes Rutgers because Notre Dame got COVID. And they got to go to the next team. And all of a sudden, there you go. That's my prediction for March Madness.
they're gonna fire up the Concorde again and to make it from New Jersey all the way to San Diego in time for tip off this afternoon. I like it though. I think in this age that we live in, there nothing would be surprising. So I think that is a bold upset-esque prediction that nobody's got in their bracket right now. So
not one person. not even anybody from Rutgers has that. Is that a Catholic?
It is not Catholic.
Okay. I'm not sure about the religious bend on Rutgers. Whenever it's not a state name or a city name, but San Francisco threw me. Okay.
Yeah, it is a rare. So, yeah, it's in, I mean, I think, you know, some would consider it basically, you know, the state university of New Jersey. There is the College of New Jersey, but I believe Rutgers would be considered the state university, despite it not having New Jersey in its name. So there you go.
There you go, Bible fans. There you go, Zodiac fans. There you go, whatever else fans, existential weirdo fans.
Basketball fans. We're all basketball, regardless of what else we believe. Everybody can be a basketball fan this time of year, even if you don't know what it is the other 48 weeks of the year or whatever.
So in true literal fashion, we decided to take March Madness to the max, and we are predicting Rutgers is going to upset whoever they're playing today in the later competition.
Careful with the we there, Jason. I'm pretty sure you're on an island with this one.